Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-host, and with me today is Yanis Janaeus. In this episode, we're going to discuss the 2-1 Fulham victory against Barnsley at Craven Cottage. We have much to get through in this victory, but before I do anything, I always have to welcome my co-host back to the show. Mr. Janaeus, how are you doing?
I'm great. You know, I was thinking actually earlier, Russ, when's the last time I was actually on the show and we won a game? I think I must be the death knell of this club. I was trying to think when was the last time I was on when we'd actually.
It's a great question.
It's been a little bit of a while. So you know, I'm looking forward to debriefing on an important 3 points.
Yep.
And you and I were talking before the show about some of the very odd results in the division.
Yes.
This thing, but I'm delighted to announce to fans that we had a very special manager in watching from the stands today. None other than our friend Jurgen Klopp was at the cottage today, and he's got a couple of words to say about about the performance. So I thought you might want to listen.
Okay.
Yeah, the old Liverpool manager. So this is when he was asked about the performance of the players. This was his response.
Okay.
Did you performance you like to pick out?
No. However, probably my performance. I'll show you.
So he was. I don't know what was. He's an odd cat. That one. I don't know what to say to him at times. But obviously, he loved the way he played, which is probably better than his back four last night. But I'll see if I can catch up with him and see if I can pinpoint any more thoughts about the game today.
It's funny, his team, that was a bad way to that was a very interesting match.
Yes, it was.
Liverpool, that was a crazy match. I did watch that. All right, Yanis, let's talk about this victory. We're obviously going to talk about how great the 3 points are, but we also have to talk about the performance. If you're asking me, they need to be doing better against teams like this. We talk about this. We can look at Millwall, we can look at Birmingham City. They need to be handling these teams, but they need to be destroying these teams. These are teams that they should be beating more handily than they are. I'll take right. All 3 points, my friend, but they had to sweat through another one like this.
This was never going to be an easy game, but I think, you know, I mean, on paper, Barnsley are a very good side, and I think that the position of 20th tells the story. But a lot of these teams, like Birmingham City, like Millwall, like Barnsley, Sunderland, when we went to the Northeast, they punch above their weight because they're respectful of the way we play, and they do a very good job of putting many men behind the ball and defending in numbers.
They were
very disciplined. Something that they did today is that they tended to flood down the middle and leave gaps out wide, but they did a brilliant job in terms of closing down the middle. So it gave us opportunities to get wide and get crosses in. We just couldn't quite convert. They didn't have a lot of quality. But I mean, they held firm. You know, we took the lead and then they got a fortuitous goal. I mean, I think they should have been called back with a foul on Tim Ream. But then we took the lead with the Ojo Messi moment. And at the end of the day, I mean, if you're a Cardiff City supporter, you know, you've got to play Fulham down in Wales on Boxing Day. And you've just gone northwest of Reebok against the worst team in the division. Arguably the worst team in the division.
Yep.
And you just got beaten. 2-0 as well.
I know.
So this is a crazy division. There have been some crazy scores today. And doesn't matter how you do it. Doesn't matter how ugly you do it. That's 3 wins on the spin at home. We didn't keep a clean sheet, but we'll take the 3 points. We're halfway through the season now. And it's all about momentum. So hopefully we can go down to South Wales and get some points against the Taffs. And you know, we'll celebrate Christmas at least with a win under our belt.
Absolutely, Yanis. It's funny because I'm watching this match and I'm just thinking that this is going to be one of those matches. It felt that way. It felt similar to, I guess you could say, the Millwall match and, of course, the Birmingham City match, that they were going to make it difficult on us. And they did. And I'm glad that you gave credit to Barnsley and to Heckenbottom, who set his team up very well. He did a very nice job on playing against us, and they made it difficult on us, but we need to do a better job of breaking these teams down. And I said to this off air, because again, I think it's great that Fulham got the 3 points. And but, you know, we're going to talk about the performance, because the performance I still feel needs to be better. But what was interesting is that after the match, and I said this to Emilio, and you can hear this on Cotter's Talk full time, is that after the match, Jamie Reid on the broadcast was talking about basically a victory like this. I'm paraphrasing. A win is a win, and that good teams find ways to win. And I think you and I will agree with that. Yeah. And then he used both of these Brighton matches last season against Fulham as examples of that. And I totally agree with that. And I put something up on Twitter, and this is what I put up, Giannis. I said, as Jamie Reid just stated on Fulham FC TV, good teams find ways to win regardless of the opponent. And he used Brighton as the example last season. It was a great point by Jamie. I agree with him, and I do agree with him. Then I got this very interesting response on Twitter, and it's funny because it actually got me to think about it. The response from a Twitter follower by the name of Jazzy, he just responded this way: and sometimes so do average teams like ours. And I thought about it, because right now, if you look at Fulham and you look at some of the victories and you look at the goal differential, they're basically an average team, which has the ability to be a good team. But right now, this is who they are. But they did find a way to win. Yes, I find it interesting that a supporter went right back to me, said, hey, we found a way to win, but right now we're average. And I'm not going to disagree with that, Giannis. We're mid-table. This is who we are right now.
Yeah. I think we are. I mean, it's you know, we've obviously had injuries, and Slav has been, you know, tinkering with formations and changing lineups, and you know, even the lineup today. I mean, Odoi didn't get in the 18. Graham obviously didn't get into the 18. But sometimes it's all about perspective. Right. I mean, you talk about Twitter, and there's a I'm not going to betray that he's a Twitter follower and I follow him, but he said something today, and I think it maybe sums up, you know, sometimes it's the beauty of being a fan and sometimes looking at things two ways. And it was when Abubakar Kamara was substituted, and I thought he had a very good game today. I mean, his shooting prowess is
he works very hard. That's all I'm going to say.
But he works very hard.
He works extremely hard.
He does. I mean, that's the thing. That's the thing. He's young. He's big. He's strong. He's dangerous at getting around the lines. And he hassles defenders and makes it difficult for them. So this Twitter follow said, Camera cheered off, question mark, dear oh dear, rather have a fat, non-trying Chris Martin in every day. And now my first reaction to a comment like that is, well, I don't want players that don't want to be here. I mean, Chris Martin may have contributed, you know, a lot last year, but his deportment was one thing. People have convenient memories when they forget what he tried to do. He and numbnuts manager at that time. Yeah. In terms of trying to sabotage and hijack our season. But again, it's the perspective. Because somebody doesn't pop the ball in the back of the net, you know, he's considered an awful player. And I know that Gentleman Jim and Jamie talked about, you know, Barry Hales when he first started at the club, was
I remember when they said that during the broadcast.
Yeah, Bobby Zamora was another one.
Exactly,
And they're both, Col Hero is Barry Hales. Bobby Zamora, in many ways, is a legend because in the time he was here, I'm just being delivered oatmeal raisin cookies, courtesy of the wife. This is very good. They both did their job.
Right.
So he's young, and I think he's going to do fine. Linked to that, by the way, I don't know if you noticed the boos that Font got when he came on.
I didn't hear that.
Which I thought was appalling, because I actually think he did a decent job when he came on in terms of holding the ball up.
Yeah.
So it's perspective. I think we are an average team, but I think we're one or two signings away from being a very good team. Don't forget, Piazon has been injured. Aite isn't fully match fit. Cabana wouldn't have been fully match fit. And we do have some depth. So with these games coming thick and fast around the Christmas period, if we can also do our business at the start of January, we may be in much, much better shape. But I think for us moving forward, to turn us from an average into a good, maybe a very good side, the club is going to have to do something in terms of bringing in players as soon as the transfer window opens. And a striker that can convert, because there were a lot of balls from Fredericks and Sessegnon that got in the box. but there was no conversion rate today.
Giannis, I'm right there with you, and it's funny because I'm glad that you talked about Font and talked about Kamara. I thought Kamara played very well.
Yes,
I know about his lack of scoring. I see it. My eyes don't lie. I see that. But I also see all the other parts of his game and his commitment. And I can't fault a player for giving you 150%, and I said this to Emilio as well. He gives that to you. He completely gives that to you. And Font is doing the same thing. And there's a role for them. But to be the striker that to score the goals, at this point, we need someone else. So it goes back to the January transfer window opening up. I still see roles for both of these players, Giannis. I just don't see them as the ones scoring the goals. We need to find that guy, that player. But both of these players are giving everything that they can to Fulham Football Club. It's just not the goals that we need. That's the way I look at it. That's the way I looked at Kamara's performance. He's giving you everything. He's running. He's physical. His pace is very good at times. I mean, excellent at times. But you know what? He just does not have the finishing yet. Fine. Find someone that does, but you can find a role for Abubakar Kamara. You can also find a role for Rui Font in certain situations, but they need a finisher. And I think this is a match that showed it once again.
Yep, I think that's absolutely right. There'll be question marks about the performances today. I mean, Aite scored that was a fantastic goal, but really had a header at the near post he should have scored. Kamara, well, I mean, he worked very, very hard and he led the line. But we're you look at, for example, Derby County.
Yep.
And, you know, who scored the goals today? Nugent and Vidra.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not just about a Chris Martin. And players that, you know, you look at them and you go, oh. And I think every club has one of those. And sometimes in the wrong, I mean, I think of players like, I think of Burton Albion, Marvin Sordell is sitting on the bench. There are good players out there that can cause some real problems. And we don't have anybody that can really frighten you in terms of a target man that can score goals. The other thing we need to take advantage of is we get so many opportunities in terms of corner kicks, and we never seem to be able to take advantage of them.
Great point.
Either we go the short route or we don't beat the first man. So there's some stuff there that needs to be worked on, and there's some stuff that needs to be addressed in the transfer window. So I'm sort of excited. I think that Slava Russ knows who he wants. And I wouldn't be surprised if he gets them, because we're only a couple of wins away from the playoffs.
I know.
So a good Christmas run and we'll be right back in it. So as I said, it's important we do our business early.
Listen, I completely agree with you, Giannis. And when you look at these matches and we're talking about the performance and the performance not being at the level that we need it to be a good, potentially very good team, it does come down to two things for me. And you're talking about one of them, and that's a finisher, a goal scorer, and also I still believe that we need another center back in certain situations to play with those two, you know, again, another option there. You know, you can mix and match, I think, in certain matches, but I think they need a different type of center back. But if they do their business and get these players in, then maybe that's what we need at this point. And I'm glad that you bring up Derby County. It's something that I mentioned with Emilio. He brought it up and we talked about it, and he sees them as a team that's going in the right direction with momentum. And that's what we should be looking at. What are they doing right? Because they're on this very good run of form. And talent-wise, I don't think they're very different than us. But you just talked about two players that are making a big difference for them, and that's Vidra and Nugent. And we don't have those types of players right now. And we need one. We definitely do. And it might be that missing piece that could take us over the top. And dare I say, another center back, I think, can help us in the back. So I think that we're not that far off, but right now we are who we are, and that's an average side. And I think this match showed that, and I'm not trying to be mean or anything. I'm just trying to be honest because I can see the potential that this team has. And I just think that they need to get these players in January to change them from the team that they are to the team that they can be, if that makes any sense, Giannis.
Absolutely. And you know what? We live in crazy times. I'm just sending the Cottage Talk co-hosts a link to, I think it was the winning goal that Burton Albion scored today down at the Medeski. And it's one of the strangest goals I think I have ever seen. And Burton scored a goal by doing nothing. You'll have to see the video to believe what was yep. going on. But it just goes to show, I mean, this is a strange division. And, you know, it's not just teams like us. I'd say, you know, I'd say Preston North End, Middlesbrough, even a team like Sheffield Wednesday, who are down in 15th, will probably think they're 1, 2, 3 signings away in terms
right.
of the, I mean, the top two, I think, are running, but we know now that it's going to be 3 to 6 we're looking at, and let's be honest, yeah. we're looking at 6. So the question becomes, how close can we get to 6? We're more than capable of doing that. Okay. It's just, can we get the transfer, you know, can we get it done right and the selections right? I did say at the start, I was a little disappointed, and just, you know, we're going to talk about the lineups, but sure. that Adoy didn't make it in. I don't know if there was an injury thing there, but it was disappointing that he wasn't in the 18.
I'm glad that you just mentioned that. That's a great transition, Yanis, because I noticed that as well. So that's obviously one thing that you picked out of the lineup when we saw it an hour before the match in the 18. Overall, what were your thoughts about it besides the Adoy situation there?
Well, he's gone with a 4-3-3, and he's dispensed with the, I'm going to put the best four players on yep. the field and put them wherever the hell they want. So that's,
I was happy about that, by the way.
Yeah, I was happy about that as well. That meant Norwood didn't start, and that's fine. Aiteo was obviously fit. Cabana was only fit to be on the bench. Piazon was available. Piazon didn't get to play, but I think we're going to see him down at Cardiff.
I think he's close.
Yeah. Camara, you know, was going to lead the line, and I thought he had a very, very good game today. I mean, he was absolutely tireless. And you sort of knew with the back four, the way that they're set up, Pinnock and Lindsay are not the best two, are not the best, you know, defensive central
partner. I thought he gave them all kinds of trouble.
Oh, terrible. I mean, he's, Adams are actually pretty quick, is a pretty quick left back, and even he was giving him grief. They don't have anybody that really that you will frighten you. They're all a bit, they're a little bit like a Burton Albion. They're an organizational team. They're not, you know, they're not a big club by any means. And they did a very good job, I thought, in the first half in terms of dropping men behind the ball. But our lineup was set up okay. The bench, Russ, you know, you could see lots and lots of options. You know, Jallo could also, you know, also come in as a, you know, a central defender option. De La Torre was going to get another, you know, possibly some playing time. So, you know, and obviously you had Font. So that was good. It was a decent lineup. And I said the big thing for me was the fact that not just obviously Aiteo's back there and Cameron's leading the line, but the fact that Norwood was on the bench and he had the, you know, the threesome with Steph, Joe, Mac and Kearney in the middle. And I thought that was a good idea.
Okay, excellent. And listen, I was happy with what I saw. I was just puzzled by the whole Adoy situation that you mentioned, Yanis. We don't know if it's injury-related. I have no idea. Or maybe he's just saving him for an upcoming match. I really don't know.
Yeah.
But I still want to see Sessegnon in midfield. And I think for us to see that, you have to see Adoy left back. So I'm like, what's going on here? But I thought overall, I was fine with the starting 11. And, you know, I thought they played well as a unit. We'll talk about that upcoming right now. So let's transition to the first half. And I'm going to go through a couple key moments. And Fulham came out strong in the first half. I think you're going to agree with me. Had several opportunities to make things difficult on Barnsley. You have, in the 5th minute, you have a shot by Johansson that the goalkeeper spilled. And then in the 10th minute, you have a shot by Ojo that's, again, saved by the keeper. Then you have this situation in the 11th minute, the shot by Kearney that goes over that was set up by Aiteo. Boy, you want to talk about a player that needs a goal? It's Tom Kearney, Yanis. So let's stop here. Let's talk about Kearney because Emilio talked a little bit about him that he just doesn't think he looks right. And these are shots that he usually puts in the back of the net. So I want to get your thoughts on this and also what Emilio shared on the full-time show that he doesn't think that he's where he needs to be yet. So what are your thoughts on the shot by Kearney and then his overall play in this game?
Well, last year he'd have probably finished chances like that for fun. And I agree with Emilio. I don't think he looks right. He doesn't look, his mobility I don't think it's quite as crisp. I don't think his passing accuracy is quite as good. I suspect that the injury was maybe a lot more serious than even we thought, and that he might still be carrying a little bit right now. And he's such a, for us to move forward this year, he's such an influential player,
yeah,
and such a playmaker that we, you know, we need him to come good. And it's making me wonder, you know, in the background, whether, you know, Slava is looking at this and going, well, he's not back to where he was last year. Do we maybe need to dip into the transfer window and get a loan in? Just because someone who can create from the middle that can make things tick, take a little bit of the pressure off Kearney. Because let's face it, the games are going to start coming thick and fast, not just with the league. A lot of midweek games. You're also looking at FA Cup. Well, that could only last one game, of course, but you never know. And so, you know, and the bad weather's coming in as well, where he needs, maybe when he needs a break, someone's going to come in and slot and do a similar job to what Kearney can do. Because with the greatest of respect to, you know, to Max, Steph, Joe and Norwood, they're not able to do what Kearney does. And that, so I agree with Emilio. He's not quite right. And that sort of compounds a problem. But it's not like we're not creating chances, because we are. I mean, having said that, we've got to finish. Aita had an absolute gift in the first half, really. That, you know, he shaped his body all wrong, but their chances. You don't create many simple chances in this division because it's such a tough division because of the way that teams defend en masse. So when you get chances like that, 3-4 yards out, you got to put them away. So that's, I think, that's your biggest thing. Let's go back to last year where we were out, you know, that 5-4 win up at Bramall Lane near Sheffield United a few weeks ago was the sort of game we were winning last year and playing in. There haven't been many of them. So
it's a great point.
We need to be able to create chances to score goals, because defensively, I think I still maintain that even though Betts had a couple of the drops today, I prefer to have him in net.
Okay.
So I think if we're, you know, if we can solidify a little bit more, we've kept our goals conceded in check. Then if we can start scoring a few more, then I think it's going to be great. This is a game where we go a goal up and you think, right, we kick on.
Totally.
We couldn't kick on.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's a good point, Giannis, and I'm glad that you brought up Iyete, because he had a couple of opportunities in the first half. You have the free kick that goes wide in the 36th minute, and then the opportunity later on in the 43rd minute, Iyete's shot just goes wide from across by Sessegnon. So there are opportunities, but they're just not finishing them, and that's the disappointing part. I do want to go back to Marcus Bettinelli, because he had a fiasco. We'll call it a fiasco.
Yeah.
What did you see here? Because we have to talk about this. Again, I know that you still feel that it was the right decision. I'm not saying it wasn't the right decision, but we do have to talk about this. What was going through his mind? What was he trying to do here?
If you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna make a decision on the field, you stick by. It's like taking a penalty. Stick to the decision. If you do it,
right.
If you change in mid, and that's what he did. He wasn't sure if he was going to kick or he was going to throw, and then he decided to throw the ball away, and it went straight to a Barnsley player, and he got very lucky. But then, you know what? I'm not going to have a bad word to say about that, because he sat his bottom patiently on a bench for half a season. He's never complained. You know, it's keepers make mistakes. It's not like he's let a ball go through his leg. It's not like he's dropped a cross or he's flapped at, you know, a shot or anything like that. He's just trying to distribute the ball, and he's changed his mind. The coaches will say, look, whatever you do, make the decision, live and die by the sword. It's the moment hesitation always kills in this game.
Right.
If you hesitate, you second guess yourself, and then mistakes are made. And he's made a mistake, and we've got away with it. So all is good. But it's going to be—he's still a young goalkeeper. It's a teaching point. It's a coaching point. And had the goal gone in, it still wouldn't necessarily have been a negative, simply because it's a teaching point for a young keeper now. And so lucky. So I suppose God was on his side for this one. He got away with it, and good for him. He deserves that. And it was a little bit of luck that we've not necessarily had in recent weeks. And we got it with that one. Barnsley didn't punish us for it.
It's an interesting way that you put this, Giannis, because that could have been disastrous. I'm talking about in the match, but you brought out the situation as being a teachable moment. where you can learn something from this. It's a very good point, because when you make mistakes, that's the opportunity to learn from. And this was a mistake. So hopefully he will learn from this to be more decisive and not be in between thought of what to do. You just do it and you live with it. And that was probably the cause of this issue, being indecisive. And but hopefully he will learn from it. Like you said, he's a young goalkeeper. We don't want to see it, but we were lucky enough to get through it, and hopefully he will learn from that. That's the point you want to see. You don't want to see this again. So hopefully this will be a situation where he learns from and he moves on from, and we don't see it again. And then it's okay, because we kind of got through that.
For sure.
All right, Giannis, let's now transition. Let's go to the second half, and there's a good amount for us to really go through in the second half. And let's start off with the goal by Fulham, by Floyd Ayite. Now, I was talking to Emilio on the full-time show, and I said I thought this was a beautiful goal. Maybe I'm going a little bit too far on it, but I thought this was a well-taken goal. I'll change it a little bit, by Floyd Ayite. He took it well, and he gives Fulham the lead in the 54th minute. What did you see here?
I thought this was a fantastic goal. But this is the frustration that is often Floyd Ayite. He almost has a chance from 4 yards out. I mean, this one, he's cut inside the defender and he's absolutely cracked it into the bottom right-hand corner. And it's a lovely goal. Adam Davis has got no chance. I know Barnsley fans were critical that he should have been closed down. But I mean, what's the keeper going to do about that one? I think it was Moncur that was a player was trying to close him down. But you know the old saying about the ball has eyes. That the ball had eyes, and it was a lovely goal. And it was, we were just, for the last 7-8 minutes prior to that, we were really beginning to pin him in the final third.
We were,
and I thought the goal was going to come, and when it came, it was, you know, maybe not the likeliest of sources from where he was shooting from. But it was a really, really nice goal. It was, you could sense a sigh of relief from around the ground that we've taken the lead. Isn't going to be a 0-0. Unfortunately, we did let it slip, even though the equaliser was fortuitous.
It was, Giannis. And let's go right to that. In the 68th minute, you have Tom Bradshaw with the goal. And I'm watching it live on Fulham FC TV like yourself. We're watching this. And I believe Jim and Jamie were right on top of this. They're looking for the foul on Tim Ream, and Bradshaw takes advantage of the situation. Like you said, call it luck, call it whatever you want to call it. He scores the goal. But what did you see here? It looked like a foul to me. I want to watch another shot at this, another highlight of this. But when I was watching it live, it looked like a foul to me on Ream. And I'm like, how does this goal stand? But it does. So we have to call what it is. But did you see what I saw?
Yeah, it was an odd refereeing decision, not least of which because the assistant referee was actually up with play A, miracles, of course, this time of the year, and B, he was in line with play. And earlier he'd given Ojo a yellow card for a simulated dive when the lad who'd taken him out could actually have got a red card for a second yellow for the challenge. So it was a little bit odd, but I will say this much. It was fortuitous, but I'm going to give some credit to Higginbottom, the Barnsley coach here, because he made the double sub on the hour.
Great point.
He brought Isgrove and Hamill on. Yeah, and it made a big difference. It gave him a little bit more life. The ball, the goal came out of nothing, but it was a very, very precise cross. It was a good downward header. I think it's a foul? Yeah. But I'd be more critical of the assistant ref there, because he's in a position to flag that, and he didn't.
Yep.
And all really out of nothing, Barnsley, are equal. Equalising. Thinking, oh, here we go again, yet another throw. Holy cow, are we going to get any fortune? But then, to be fair, we came back, and then the player who on the basis of this goal really should be winning the Ballon d'Or next year, Shea Ojo, because not even Pelé or Cruyff or Maradona could have done it better with that ridiculous cross-come shot. puts back in the lead.
He did, and I asked Emilio this, and he had a good look at this because I just asked a question because it looked like 100% that it was a cross. And I just asked the question, is it a cross or a shot? And I knew the answer, but he's like, Russ, it's right in front of me. It was a cross, and it was. But you know what, Giannis? I'll take it. We don't get enough luck. This was lucky, like you said, fortuitous. But you know what? I'll take it.
Yeah, it was an odd. It was, you know what? It was an odd goal, and I think Higginbottom and the Barnsley coaches are going to look at this again, and I suspect that Adam Davis, their keeper, is going to be a little disappointed, because although it was fluky, if you look at the position when he connected, he was closer to the near post than the far post, and that's trouble. You know, one of the age old sayings is for crosses, you should always be looking to move forward to pick up, as opposed to having to go drop back, otherwise you're in real trouble. And you could see the distance halfway. Davis knew he was in real trouble. And it's a goal that, as a Barnsley player, there's nothing you can do about it. And as a head coach, it's a nightmare goal, because it's fluky. It's obviously not intended. But every goal is stoppable. So Davis will look at his positioning when the ball comes, you know, when Ojo strikes it. Should he have been further to the near post as opposed to the far? And I think the answer is yes. Might have given him a chance to at least recover, at least given him the distance and time, but he didn't. And Ojo scored. And it's funny because Jim and Jamie were talking about, you know, the top goal scorers. And we've got a few of them, but the top goal scorer is four. And I think right there, you know, you just go, well, I mean, you don't want someone who's going to score 25 goals and no one else, but our top goal scorer only has four goals.
I know.
And I think, again, highlights the need for an out-and-out striker who's going to go out and stick a ball in the net. Because it's not to say we don't create chances. We need sniffers. You know, it doesn't matter if it comes off your nose, comes off your ass, you know, whatever it's going to do. And we don't have that. But, hey, you take the luck when it comes.
Right.
More often than not, we're at the receiving end of it. So it was fortuitous, but it went in and it gave us the 3 points. And it means that the lads, assuming that they're not vegetarian or vegan, will enjoy their turkey. And if they are, then they can enjoy their sprout. And they'll go down to Cardiff in good spirits, because they'll be up against a Cardiff side that will be decidedly antsy.
Okay, excellent there, Giannis. To finish up talking about the second half, I just want to get your overall view of after the goal. Listen, they had an opportunity to score by Bradshaw in the 77th minute, and they were dangerous for the rest of the game. You're going to expect that because they're behind. They're going to be throwing everything at you to try to get the equalizer. But
yeah,
I want your view of how we handled the end of this match.
I really didn't think we were in any sort of danger. But then again, the flip side is we didn't look like we were in danger when they equalised. I mean, there was this question about, you know, especially when they brought Ugbo on, is the third substitution going to be, you know, Marcelo Diallo?
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, because Diallo's going to, I hope, see some playing time during these games. He's very, very good in the air. But he decided to, Slava decided to bring Font on. That was okay. That might have been a tactical change in terms of, you know, thinking of the volume of games. Do you bring a centre back in so cold, so late in the game, you know, when he's, you know, you still got to get to the speed of the game. And it becomes much more of a risk if you do it with a defender than if you do it with an attacker. So Font's been brought on to try and hold the ball up. And I thought Font did a decent job. He did his job. And then, of course, with the other two, I thought Cabana did well when he came on, and Nord defensively did a job. So
he did.
I think Higginbottom might look back, you know, in reflection, just looking at the game, he might have. They didn't play very well in the first. Defensively, they were solid, but they did nothing. They did absolutely nothing, and I might have looked at it and gone, well, if we, you know, you can draw 0-0, but can we nick this? And if we nick this, we need a bit of creativity. I might have been inclined to bring an Adam Hamill on at half time, and maybe look to see if you could just ask a few questions of our back four. But he didn't, and he waited until the hour mark when they were a goal down. But all credit to him that you know, the lads at Isgrove and Hamill played well, and then they got the equaliser, and you know, and they created a couple of chances. They're not a very good side, but they are well organised. We've got a few of them in the division, and on any given day, these teams can cause trouble. And it's funny, I put Bolton in that category as well. As Cardiff found out today, you can't underestimate any team. We've lost to Burton, haven't we? I mean, we've lost to Burton, we've lost to Sunderland. So on any given day, anything can go wrong. But I think Higginbottom might think that maybe he could have made the changes earlier because they did cause us some problems. But luckily for us, we got the 3 points.
Absolutely, Yanis. One last thing I want to ask you about, and definitely want your valuation of Savisa in a few minutes when we talk about rating him. But before that, I want to talk about this decision. I agree with bringing on Oliver Norwood, but as the announcers we were listening to, they thought that Johansson was coming off, but it was actually Ojo. Why do you think he decided to take Ojo off?
Ojo, I thought, worked very, very hard. I think Steph Joe, I think that decision might have been more psychological than anything else, because Steph Joe hasn't played very well recently. And I thought Steph Joe played pretty well today. And I think it would have meant a lot in terms of the psyche and the confidence of the lad to keep him on for 90 minutes. You know, we often, as fans, make an assumption that because a player is an international and they're used to starting for the international side, that they don't go through fits and starts where confidence is really, really lacking. But it's so untrue. You know, I'm going to use two players right now who are playing at the top of their game that early in the season was sort of really struggling to get a foot in. One is Raheem Sterling at Man City, who looks a completely different player right now. I mean, Man City are playing on a different planet than anybody else. And the other one is Wayne Rooney. Rooney, since Allardyce has gone up there, and Rooney looks like a completely different player. And in fact, I wouldn't even be surprised if Gareth Southgate might even pick up a phone and say, do you fancy another run out in the World Cup? So something like playing for 90 minutes for Steph Joe would be big. You know, getting the sub thing, yeah, I know, it's token, but it's the actual psyche of playing for a whole 90 minutes plus 4 minutes or whatever it was, I think is important. I think that's what Slava was thinking. And if it's what he was thinking, I think it's a good move because Steph played well today. And we need him to be playing well. We need our three to be playing really well because that's what drove us forward last year. And I hope we'll give him some confidence. Ojo worked hard today and he scored a nice goal. But Steph Joe, I think, will be enamored with that decision, and good for him. He was one of our best players today.
Okay, excellent there, Yanis. All right, let's now move to full-time stats and get your thoughts on it. Let's start with possession. No shock here. Fulham had more possession at 61% to 39%. Total shots, interesting, 19-7 in favor of Fulham. On target, 6-2 in favor of Fulham. Corners were 10-4 in favor of Fulham. Crosses, 27-10 in favor of Fulham. Tackles, 20-19 in favor of Barnsley. Let's go to attempted passes, 625 to 336 in favor of Fulham. Attacking passes, 201 to 136 in favor of Fulham. Passing accuracy, 83% for Fulham and 72% for Barnsley. Aerial duels, 21-17 in favor of Fulham, which is interesting. And fouls were even at 11 apiece. All right, Yanis, what stands out to you from the full-time stats?
Well, our level of possession, as always, was always going to be very, very high. Passing accuracy was very, very good. I think the 83% you said was a statistic. I mean, that's very, very high. Yeah, I mean, that's very high. We had a lot of shots on that.
I'm sorry, it was 61%.
Yeah. Oh, 61. That's still pretty good. I think passing accuracy was at 83, which is great. Yes. We created chances. You know, I'm not as pessimistic as others. That, I mean, it wasn't a top performance, but again, you know, sometimes you play better teams, but the way they're set up means you actually create more space and it becomes more open, favors the quality players that you have. It doesn't, just because, you know, the team that's not doing as well on the table doesn't mean that they're necessarily any easier, because the things they throw at you might, you know, throw, you know, a wrench into the way you play, especially with teams that defend en masse. And we've got several, five, six, seven of them in this division that are very good at doing it. And all things considered, I don't think we panicked at any point. We got the goal, and then we didn't panic when Bradshaw equalised. So I think, you know, the stats show that we dominated the game. Stats show that we deserved to get the win. It wasn't as convincing maybe as many fans would want. But a win is a win. It's worth 3 points. We're up to 32 points, up to 11th. And we're closer to the top than we are the bottom. And, you know, it gives us some confidence heading down to South Wales on Boxing Day.
Okay, excellent, Giannis. All right, let's now go to your man of the match. We'll be talking about Cardiff City at the end of the show. Who was your man of the match here?
Not an easy one. I thought Steph Joe, I thought played very well today. I thought Tim Ream had a very good game, and he was obviously unlucky with that goal that went in. There's nothing you can do about that. I thought McDonald.
What's the difference with him now? Seriously, what's going on with Tim Ream? What are you seeing from him?
It's mental. I think it's mental. I think players can react in different ways. I'm going to use, and using, you know, the fact that Tim Ream is an American, I'm going to use maybe a prime example of how players can react to adversity. You know, Fulham fans, you know, English fans, all on Jose Altidore. And Altidore and Michael Bradley both play for Toronto FC, and they were desperately disappointed that US got knocked out of the World Cup. And what they did is they came back and they rolled their sleeves up and said, okay, we've had a huge disappointment. We'll use this to guide our club team, which just happens to be a Canadian team, and to see if we can go as far as we can and go a step further than last year, where we lost, you know, penalties in the final MLS Cup to Seattle. And so they didn't pout, and they didn't, I'm not saying that Ream pouted, but it was obviously very disappointing, and that can have a, you know, it's everybody's dream playing at the top level to play in a World Cup. And, you know, this was, you don't know how many chances you're going to get to go. And these two players used it as a strength to motivate their players. And they were really the two leaders of our club in winning the MLS Cup. And both of them were absolutely outstanding in the final. And they won, you know, an MLS Cup, going to be playing in the last 16 of the CONCACAF Champions League. They got a very good chance of going far. They got an excellent chance, I think, of maybe winning it. And if they win the Champions League, they get to play in the World Club Cup against a, you know, a Real Madrid or a Barcelona or a Bayern Munich. Tim Ream, it's how you hold it. Tim Ream came back from the World Cup, obviously very disappointed, and his confidence was shot. And that was reflected in terms of his performances. And so what Slav has done, and he deserves a lot of credit, is he's given him some time off, in a sense, and just given him time to reflect. A lot of what this game is so psychological. Confidence can be, you know, so fragile, as I mentioned with the Sterling and Rooney situations. And he's come back and he looks like a new player. He's playing carefree. He's playing with confidence. He's playing like the Tim Ream of old. And he's clearly recovered from the disappointment of the World Cup. He gets paid good money to be a Fulham player, and people have. Sometimes professional footballers get really heavily criticised about performances for the international team. But international players do not get paid a lot of money to play for their international side. I know that the England players get paid. They play in the, you know, they stay at the best hotels, and they play on the best fields, and they have the best facilities. But in terms of pay, the pay is token. So that tells you what it's like to play for your international side, that even though he gets paid by Fulham, you know, something as adversarial as losing to the bottom team, you know, Trinidad, had such a profound effect on the lad that when he came back, he was shot with confidence. So to Slava's credit, he's given him some time to think and reflect. And the cost has been, the upshot has been, that he's come back and he's playing tremendously well. And that's what we desperately needed, because with Maddle now out of the situation, Jallo's not been given maybe the fair shake, Odoi's played decent at centre-back, we've been really short of experience. So having a healthy and fit and mentally alert and mentally confident Tim Ream has been huge for us. And it's been reflected in the last few games. He's played well. And I think it's great to have him back. And it's great because I think the Fulham fans really like him. as well. Our American players that have come through our club have all seen, you know, McBride and Bocanegra, or North American Pesca Salido, Casey Keller. Well, the list goes on and on. We love our North American players. They're blue collar players who give it everything they've got. And Tim Ream is no exception. So it's good to have him back. And I think the breakaway did him well.
Okay, excellent. And who was your man of the match, though? Your name and
I'm going to give it, actually, yeah, after all that. I'm going to give it to Abubakar Kamara, and I'm going to give it to him because he's a kid who's been short on confidence, and he didn't score today, but I thought he'd give it everything he had. I really love the line. Yeah, he gave it everything. I'll never fault a player that gives it 110%. Those fans from the 80s, you know, another player that was mentioned by Gentleman Jim and Jamie was Leroy Rossignol.
Yes.
And, you know, Rossignol was an honest player who gave it everything he had. And I'm thinking of players, I mean, I'm going back to the 80s, like, you know, I mean, he was a centre-back, Roger Brown, or, you know, Chris Guthrie, obviously Gordon Davis, still my favourite all-time Fulham player, gave it everything they had. And Kamara has got all the tools. He's just doesn't have the confidence of scoring goals. But it'll come. And today, I thought he led the line really, really well. And it's great because if we get strikers in, Russ, it means you've got competition for places. And I think it's great. It bores me when players talk about Chris Martin. I don't care about Chris Martin. He was a Fulham player. He was a loanee. He's not here anymore. He plays for another team. Why do people keep dredging him up? I don't care about him. I don't give a bollocks. I give a bollocks about our players. And let's cheer on the players we've got as opposed to dreaming and praying for the players that we necessarily want. We'll get a couple of good players in. But let's cheer on Font. Let's cheer on Camara. Let's cheer on Ojo and Aite and Cabano, you know, and Graham. Let's do that. Let's not bemoan what we don't have, and let's celebrate what we do have, especially at this time of year. You know, collectively, they've given us a win so we can be happy going into Christmas Day. I thought Camara was as instrumental as anybody in securing that victory. So for me, for that reason, he gets man of the match.
Okay, excellent there, Giannis. All right, let's now go to Slavisa. Rate the head coach.
I'm going to give him 7.5. I didn't have a problem with his lineup. I was slightly, you know, the decision not to have Odoi or Graham in the 18, but maybe they picked up Knox. I mean, we don't know. But the starting lineup looked good. The bench looked strong. We've got, let's not forget that Lucas Piazon didn't come on, and I'm assuming he'll get some time at Cardiff, and I'm delighted that he will. He's become a very firm Fulham favourite. He's passionate, and God knows we need that. And I think the substitutions were, on reflection, at the right time. And there's still some stuff, you know, Barnsley caught us in the break with the Bradshaw goal, even though it shouldn't have been. And, you know, you've got a week between games, and we've still not really done a lot to address, not defensive, but attacking corners, which I think we're one of the worst teams in the division. And we had a number of corners today we really didn't take advantage of. They're not the biggest side at the back. But having said that, I think he got the lineup and the subs right, and the tactics were right. Our formation looked good, and we got the win, most importantly. So I'll give him 7.5.
Okay, excellent there, Giannis. All right. To finish up the show, wanted to just get your thoughts on Cardiff City and also the upcoming matches. It's interesting. I was speaking to Emilio, and I was thinking about this myself. There are three upcoming matches that are all very interesting, and if we come out of it with a decent amount of points, Giannis, we could be in decent shape here moving forward. So we're talking about Cardiff City upcoming on Boxing Day. Definitely want your thoughts on that. But then we go to Hull City, and then we have Ipswich Town at home. Emilio said in the next two matches, if we got 4 points, that would be really good in the next two matches. I think it's possible to get 4 points out of these two away matches, but it's not going to be easy. And then that sets you up to play Ipswich Town at home. We know how to play against Ipswich Town. I'm confident with that match. But it's these two away matches that I think Fulham have a chance to show progression. If they go on the road and get 4 points, Giannis, I think that shows us a great deal. So let's talk about these matches upcoming, but focus more on Cardiff City. This is how we'll end the show.
Do we have a preview show before the Boxing Day game? We don't, do we, Russ?
We don't.
Oh, we don't. I think this is going to be a very, very interesting match, not least of which because Cardiff lost today. That will be a real shocker. It's the result of the day from the division. It's an absolute frightener for them. And to go up there and lose 2-0. Cardiff City are a good side. We know that. They're well coached. They're well drilled. They are where they are on the table, deservedly so. And I'm expecting a battle, but I'm going to go against the grain here. I have to tell you, because I think I actually think we can get 6 points out of this. I do. Hull City don't worry me. They are
even with Nigel Atkins coming in to stabilize that team.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I think back to Carlo, Warnock has done a very good job. You know, he's a love him, hate him. He's a polarizing figure. But you call it the way it is. He's done a super job down there.
But yes,
they don't have a lot of time. They don't have a lot of time to recover from this in terms of the result. It is such a shocker. And so, what do they do? If you look at the players that they've got a lot of experience. Of course, they've got our old Fulham keeper in Etheridge.
Yep.
And they've got some, they're good at the back. They've got some creativity. Junior Hoylett, obviously, you're going to have to keep an eye on. Omar Bogle's will give us some trouble as well, as he always does. But it's a team, again, it's given the circumstances. Had they gone down up to the Northwestern one, I'd have said, oh, this is going to be a tough one. But this will be a shock, and they don't have. Now, one school of thought will tell you that when you come off a defeat like this, the best thing to do is to get back on the horse when you've fallen off.
Right.
But we don't play like Bolton. We're a lot quicker than Bolton, and I think we're a lot better organised than they are. And we will give them problems. So I think it's a game that they may be nervous about, and I think it's there for the taking.
Okay.
I really do. And Hull City, well, Nigel Atkins is a good manager, but they got a disappointing result today up at Elland Road. And, they've got 22 points, so they're only 3 points off the drop zone. It is a perilous position for them. They're going to look to be kicking on, but I think a lot's going to depend on us in terms of what we do at Cardiff. If we get a draw, it's a good result, Russ, but I happen to think we can get the 3 points. We should just come off this game today and go, okay, that was good 3 points. They've come off a disappointing loss. Let's go out down there and play. And this is why I think Slava will tinker with the lineup a little. And I'm actually expecting / hoping that Sessegnon plays on the wing.
I hope so. Boxing Day.
And I'd like to see Piazon come on. I'd like to, Cabana may get a start. Maybe Graham will be on the bench.
You know, Giannis, you're bringing up a good point. He has choices for this upcoming match.
Yes, he does.
Wants to play around with his lineup, he can do that.
Yep, I think so.
Because now we have some players back, so he actually has some fresh bodies that if he wants to, he can change things around.
Yeah, and that's just where I think the squad strength in depth should play. So we're going to see how that goes. I'm really looking forward to the Boxing Day game.
Okay.
Because I think, as I said, it's going to be really interesting, and we should really go up there with no qualms. Okay, so they are where they are in the division. Let's have a go at them. They're not Wolves. Wolves to me are the best team in the division. I mean, they're scary, and they're going to win the division, I believe, and deservedly so.
Shouldn't be fearing anyone in this league. No. The only team that has been outright better than them, and I think Jokanović even talked a little bit about that, has been Wolves. Beyond that, there isn't a team in this league that they should be fearing going into it. And I'm going to put Cardiff City in that category. And I really want them to get all 3 points. I respect Neil Warnock as a coach. I do. I respect what he does with his team. What I don't respect is him and his coaches with their theatrics. I don't respect what they do during a match. And I just want us to pummel that team, because it's happened several times now with Neil Warnock. And I'm done with that. I really want them to win this game, Giannis.
I think part of the problem with Warnock is that Warnock, in many ways, is a fair weather coach. If his team, you know, if Cardiff get off to a good start, any of the teams going back, I mean, he's been manager for many, many years. If they get off to a good start, they're playing well, you know, there are no problems. But the longer that a team stays in the game, especially one that they're supposed to dominate, the more animated he gets. The more animated he gets, the more animated the coaches get. The more animated the coaches get, the more animated the players get. And Bolton, for long stretches, if you read the reports, frustrated them. And Warnock, you know, if you read the post-match conferences, there was a penalty, you know, it was a disallowed goal. You know, well, there was a penalty he said it shouldn't have been. It was a disallowed goal. And he's moaning and he's groaning. Yep. So I think Slava really can sit down when they get down there and say, now, look, let's go and play our game. But the longer we stay in the game, the more frustrated and pissed off they're going to get.
That's a good point.
And that's what we want. We want to throw them off their game. We want to have him moaning like a little Nelly. You see, and sometimes, you know, class is permanent. I look at, you look at teams that have, coaches that have a reputation for turning things around at a club. You know, Sam Allardyce is world famous for it, but Sam Allardyce does it the right way. Roy Hodgson, the right way. For me, Neil Warnock does it the wrong way. A lot of his behavior, I think, brings the game into disrepute. Oh. He gets results, but the fans of his club might love him, but everybody else hates him. Whereas with Roy Hodgson or Sam Allardyce, you're never going to like the you're never going to, you know, love the manager of your opponents, but you greatly respect them. And those two individuals have the respect. They do have the respect of not just their peers, but also of fans as well. I mean, Everton are playing very well right now, Palace with Roy Hodgson again. So, and it's, you don't see the theatrics. It's not like that. Like Jurgen Klopp sometimes, you know, loses, you know, blows a gasket, and Mourinho blows a gasket, but it's a different kind of losing it.
Sure.
Because Warnock is, he can be, you see, he's spiteful. He's spiteful to the ref. He's spiteful to the assistant refs, the fourth official. You know, he's yapping at opposing coaches, yapping at opposing players. You know, he's not a pleasant individual.
No.
And so today, you know, they've gone up there and they've been caught with their pants down against a team they really, really should have beaten. But I fancy they went up there and went, well, 3 easy points. They should, you know, lovely jubbly, run our way. You know, they didn't have a full house. They had just over 15,000 up there. We'll escape the 3 points. Well, guess what? They've lost. And now they go back home and we're going to be lying in wait. And we're not coming there we're not coming there for extra Christmas pud and turkey. We're coming there to get points because we need the points.
Yep.
So I expect it to be a very good game. I think we're going to put out a good lineup. And I believe we can get 6 points. I really do. But we shall see. No, it'd be full of mish that we lose our next two games 1-0. I'm actually confident. I hope I'm right on this one.
Okay, excellent there, Giannis. All right. It's funny, you've now have completely convinced me. I was on the fence on this. I was gonna pick a draw. You know, I thought that was the safe way to go. Screw it. I'm going for a full victory 3-1.
Yay!
Screw it.
Yeah,
that's how we're gonna end this show. I'm gonna predict a full victory and go with my normal 3-1, and that's just gonna be it, my friend.
Before we
go, just because for time's sake, and I do need to wrap up this show, I just want to wish you and your family a happy Christmas, and I want to wish all the Fulham supporters a wonderful holiday time. And then when you get down to on Boxing Day, enjoy the match, because I think you're gonna see a Fulham victory. Those are my final thoughts. I'll now go to you and get your final thoughts.
I'd like the same. I'd like, you know, we've got Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa. And so, I wish you and your family and all the Fulham fans around the world, you know, a wonderful holiday season. And, you know, not everybody is as lucky as us to have, you know, roofs in our heads and food on the table. And
yep.
and what have you. So watching 22 grown men chase a ball around on a field of grass is may not be everybody's idea of entertainment, but it is for us. We love our club.
Yep.
I've had a lot of comments every time people come into my office, and it's full of Fulham jerseys, and as I call it, the Fulham Shrine. But I'm proud of that, and the Christmas schedule always excites me because it starts really with the pre-game, the game of the 23rd, and then ends with the FA Cup 3rd, and of course we've got Southampton, and that should be fun. So I hope everybody has a wonderful 25th, and I'm available on the 26th, so if you are too, we can have some fun and games and hopefully talk about stuffing the Taffs.
That would be great, Giannis. I look forward to that. Let's just book that for the 26th. You and I will be doing the post-match show of Boxing Day. We'll talk about it. I look forward to that, and hopefully we'll be talking about a Fulham victory. And again, I have much to be thankful for, and one of the things is being able to do a show like that with you and getting support from everyone around the world that supports Fulham. We're all a family, and that's why I want to wish everyone just a very happy Christmas wherever you are. Just enjoy it, and then let's look forward to Boxing Day. And then Giannis and I will be on Cottage Talk talking about the match, which we both hope is a Fulham victory. All right, my friend. Great show. Fantastic show. But it is time to go. For Giannis Giannis, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.